in my life, and I thank you for the word, the wisdom, and the revelation of God's word that you share with me. God, my pleasure today is just to be a speaker on your behalf. I'm asking now, God, that I will continually strive to be completely yours. Does not matter what's going on, because I know that there was a time that's coming that I won't be able to speak as I'm speaking today. So I thank you, Lord, not only that, but I thank you for protecting me from even my enemy, those who don't see you in me. God, I thank you for that. I pray, God, for every person in this world. I pray, God, now that those systems that have been torn down, the political system, the family system, the marriages, God, that you will begin to repair beyond any man's imagination, because everything is in your hand, and we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I just want to continue now with Daniel in the book of Daniel, the chapter 4. I need you to understand that Nebuchadnezzar now is getting ready to be cast out. I need you to remember the Bible says that when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are what? They are at peace with him. Even his enemies are at peace with him. But the problem with Nebuchadnezzar today, it has nothing to do with the people. It has to do with his relationship with the Lord. So God want me to speak to you today on this Friday evening. God want me to let you know that he still loves, but he's a God who has a divine will, a sovereign will, and there are restrictions to what God will do. If I obey God's will and do what he is asking me to do, I am going to be blessed. Can't nobody, come on now, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? Somebody in radio land should have experienced that already. I said, when God is for you, who in the world can be against you? I need you to understand that you ought to be able to proclaim today without any problem, unequivocally. You ought to be able to say, look, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I want you to know that there are some people, don't you be naive, there are some forces, some principalities, come on, spiritual wickedness in high places. There are some situations where people have come against you, not the people, but the spirit of the enemy has gotten in them, and they have come against you. So don't worry about the people, but pray for that person, that the spirit that is in him will be released by the power of God. You have the power. That's why God told you to forgive those who won't forgive you. Forgive those who come against you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And he told you, more importantly, in Matthew 6, that you need to learn how to forgive. We don't repent. We don't confess. 1 John 1:9. We just don't do enough of that. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. We move along in the church, busy about our activities and our works, and don't even worry about the fruit that should ensure. We're not concerned about the fruit of the Spirit. We're not concerned about the love, peace, and joy, gentleness, and kindness, and long-suffering. We're not concerned about the meekness and the faith. Come on, somebody, and temperance, having some self-control. But those are the attributes of a person who is born again, because the Spirit is going to develop that fruit, what, in you. So God says to us here today, again, with Nebuchadnezzar, he's letting us know, he's allowing you and I to know that whatever God says, it is going to happen. And I need you to know, we're not just pawns on the earth, that God has already made decisions about us. I'm telling you, our free will, our ability to make choices and make decisions, those things are in what? Under the sovereign will of God. We cannot make any decision that would determine or deter or change what God has said. God has said there's a heaven and a hell. You can count on it. There's two roads. God has said in John 5 that everybody's going to get up. God has said in Daniel 12 that everybody is asleep, but there are two groups that are sleeping in the grave. Not white, not black, not blue, not Chinese. Come on, somebody. Not Russian. There are only two sleepers. Two in Daniel 12. And one of them is asleep and shall awake unto eternal life. And the other one shall sleep and awake unto what? Unto eternal, come on, eternal damnation. Eternal life and eternal damnation. So every grave, John says, every grave shall open. You're not dead and done. Come on, you need to spread the news. Spread the news. This is from the Jerusalem Chronicle. You're not dead and done. No in between. John said it. Daniel said it. Isaiah said it. Come on, everybody. From Genesis to Revelation. So we need to get alive. Don't you dare leave this world without God. Don't you dare leave this world without Jesus as your Savior. Don't you dare leave, because there is a place for you. Well, that's not why we're here today, but it must be important. Somebody to hear a word. Come on, my love. You don't have time, teenager, to wait till you get a little bit older like your folk did. You don't have time. Come on. The grave is full of, and the reason you don't have time, I need somebody to hear me this morning. I said the reason that your children don't have time now, because there are no coverings over them. You've got to cover your children. And we have a lot of people who are dying young, and they're dying young because there is not a covering over them. Come on. I need you to understand that if you cover your child, teach them what God says. Teach them, pray for them. Be an example and a mentor before them, not their friend, but be a mentor and do what you. If your child, you have an attitude, your child is going to come to the church with an attitude. Well, somebody need to know, because God says what? He says in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11, you need to read it for yourself. He tells us how to deal with our children. And he says in Deuteronomy 11, he says, when you teach, teach them my statutes and teach them my commandments and let them know that there are some judgment. He says, when you do that, he says, you're going to increase mightily and your children will increase mightily out of what you do. Now, if you don't do your part and you bring curses on them, then they're going to be cursed out of what you're doing. Well, I need to get away from that. But I need you to know that Nebuchadnezzar, look at this thing. I need you to know that God will deal according to his word. The Bible says, the last time we were here, the Bible said in the 32nd verse, I need you to understand that when Nebuchadnezzar, God says, they shall drive the men. Now, look at this thing. God says, you're not going to run away. When they see your condition, when they observe your insanity because you were so lifted up in pride, when they see you, they are going to, your own subjects are going to drive you out of the kingdom of God. Your own servants are going to watch you eat grass with the oxen. Your own servants are going to see the hairs on your body grow so thick until you end up with feathers. Your servants are going to see that your fingernails will turn to bird's claw. I need you to understand that God has said it and it shall be done. So the Bible says in that fourth chapter of Daniel and the 32nd verse, he says, look, they shall drive you out. But what I want you to observe here, he says seven times. In other words, God says in 7 years, you're going to do it for 7 years. And I need you to know that God has an appointed time in his business. Come on, somebody. So God is saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to stay out there for 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, not 6.5 months or 6.5 years, not 7.5 years, not 8 years, not 7 years and 1 month, but at the end of 7 years, I'm going to bring you back in and see how well you have done. Because I want to take you out here for your own good. But I need you to know, you don't need to go into the valley of the shadow of death because you were disobedient to God. You need to be down there so God can test you. But I want you to understand that God will use every situation to bring man. Look what God, bring men to him. Look what God does. He says, and it shall be 7 years over you, Nebuchadnezzar, until, my goodness, until, see, with us, when we're trying to help somebody, we'll bring them in too soon. We start to have compassion. We call it compassion. We start to soften up. But when God is doing something in your life, well, I need some help. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I said, when God is doing a thing in your life, can't nobody stop what's going on. I need you to understand, even the sin unto death. There's a sin unto death. You can't pray once that judgment has come. There is absolutely nothing you can do about it. I'm telling you, Peter could not have prayed for Ananias and Sapphira because the sin unto death was upon them because of their disobedience. Not because, my goodness, not because of what they had, but because of their disobedience. So I need you to understand that God has our care in his hand. Look what he said in that 32nd verse. He says, I'm going to leave you out there until. Now, until sounds like it doesn't have a period of time, but God had already spoken that you will be there for 7 years. So what God is guaranteeing, I need you to know, you need some guarantees in your marriage. You need a guarantee about your financial situation. You need some guarantees. But God is guaranteeing us and Nebuchadnezzar that at the end of 7 years, that's all I need, God said. Matter of fact, God says, I didn't need 7 years, but I need to leave you out there so that you can be come back complete. So he says, I'm going to leave you there for 7 years until you know. My goodness. Everybody else knows. Everybody's been watching your situation and watching you go through a storm, but you haven't recognized it. You haven't realized yet what God is trying to say to you. I'm going through the valley. Everybody's sympathetic. Everybody's trying to get you out, but you've got to remember that whatever God has said in your life is going to happen. If he said it for your good, and it shall be for your good. Look what he said. You're going to stay there, Nebuchadnezzar, until you know that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men, not of heaven, but I am the king of the earth also. I regulate the stars and the moon and the sun. I regulate the grass that's growing, the trees that are springing up. I regulate the floods that clap their hands to praise me, the hills that become glad. I regulate your body, everything that's going on, from your fingernail all the way through the intricate parts of your body. I am the king of the earth. That's what he wanted him to know. And I need you to get rid of your I syndrome, what you have done. If you start to depend upon the Lord, if you start to lean not unto your own understanding and trust the Lord in all things, he will, come on, Proverbs 3, he will direct your pathway. And I need you to know the Holy Ghost will move in you in such a way that somebody will see a supernatural thing in you. I need you to know God wants to do a supernatural thing in you. God wants you to be able to get up and say, look, I'm going to sanctify my own house. I'm going to let the devil know that this is my castle. God wants you to get to a place that when you pray for your children, doesn't matter how bad, how disobedient they are, God makes a guarantee that you shall bring them home. God wants you to be able to, when you're walking in a storm, don't look for the preacher, that you will get down and get on your knees, or that you will get into your secret closet and begin to talk to God. Or that the Holy Ghost is already in you. You ought to have the power to tell the devil, no, I'm operating in the power of God. The power of what? Of his might. Be strong. 6 and 10 of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to leave you here till you know that I am the Most High that ruleth in the kingdom of men, and I give it to whosoever, come on, I give it, this is what God is saying, I give it to whosoever I please. I said, God says, I give it to whosoever, because don't you know that some of the people that you know, even yourself, some of you have been exalted and men didn't think you should be there, but God gave it to whosoever he wanted to give it to. You remember in Ecclesiastes 2 and 26, the Bible says what? God give it to those who are good in his sight, joy. He gives them wisdom and he gives them knowledge. Look what God says. Everything that you get in the kingdom of God, everything that you receive from God through the Spirit must come from God. He has to give it. So God regulates. That's why he told us. He says, well, those who are lifted up in pride, I rebuke them. I turn my back on them. But those, come on, James 4, but those who are lowly, those who will humble themselves before me, I am going to automatically exalt them. So it has nothing to do with you other than the fact that you jumped into a place of humility and God says, I will give. Because you need to know that the word of God says that humility comes before honor. I don't want the accolades of men. I want to be in a humble state that the honor will come through God. I want what God, don't you want what God, don't you want the peace that passes all understanding? Know where you turn. Money didn't satisfy you. A wife and a husband didn't satisfy. If they were all, they are all temporary. They're going to all pass away. Having children didn't separate you. Changing church didn't separate you. Oh, come on, somebody. Giving a tithe didn't satisfy you. So I need you to know that God is saying, I am. I am the resurrection, Jesus said. I am the truth. I am the life. And whatever you need, though a man was, though he is dead, yet shall he live. And I need you.